trying to get some response to the university. The university, in a year and a half, has never said a word to us, but they do say some things to the media. The first response was, well, we're told that it's a different Al-Tubaigi. The spelling is different, and so on. That seemed pretty odd that there'd be two Saudi top forensic scientists with the name Al-Tubaigi. So we wrote to that society and asked them, is there a second Al-Tubaigi? A Hartford Current reporter also did the same and never got a response. And then just a couple days ago on that editorial board page in English, Salah Tubaigi's name was removed. So we think that theory of the two Al-Tubaigis is been put to rest.
Stanley Heller, we have to break. We have to break, but we're going to do part two of this. We're going to post online at democracynow.org. We've got to end the show. Stanley Heller, Executive Director of the Middle East Crisis Committee and Yardham Katz Department of Felon Systems Biology at Harvard Medical School. Tonight, Juan Gonzalez will be speaking at Rutgers University, moderating a discussion in New Brunswick, New Jersey at 7 p.m. with Oscar Lopez Rivera and Puerto Rican scholars Ivana Costa Lesbia and Johanna Fernandez. That does it for the broadcast. We have a job opening full-time broadcast engineer here in New York. Check our website. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
You are tuned in to KBOO Portland. The time is 5 o'clock, and we're just 4 seconds there away from 5:01. Coming up next is your KBOO Evening News. But before we get to that, just a quick thank you to everyone who is a supporter of KBOO Community Radio. That's right. We are member-supported, community-driven. Not a member yet? Guess what? You can do that right now. Go to kboo.fm, and we have the donate button right there on our homepage so you can become a member all year round. Maybe it's time to renew your membership. Maybe you're just going to be going there for the very first time and you're saying, hey, I really enjoy Democracy Now! I enjoy what KBOO does for my community. So go ahead there, go on to kboo.fm, and thank you to all of our supporters.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor Speak Up for the Climate. Our future is a constitutional right. On Monday, October 29th at 11:30 a.m., at Terry Schrunk Plaza in Portland. Speak Up for Climate supports the young plaintiffs in the historic Juliana versus United States court case. The event will feature music, art, relationship, and momentum building for local youth interconnections in action. Again, that's Speak Up for the Climate, Our Future is a Constitutional Right, on Monday, October 29th at 11:30 a.m. at Terry Schrunk Plaza, 431 Southwest Madison Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Thirsty City, a monthly beat and rap night at the Liquor Store in Portland. On Friday, October 26th, Thirsty City hosts Los Angeles-based Mike Slott and Jansport, along with sets by Omari Jazz, Rap Class, Bravo Domo, and Slurgeon. KBOO's Northern Draw will also be DJing. Again, that's Thirsty City at the Liquor Store, 3341 Southeast Belmont Street in Portland. This is a 21 and over event. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO programming is made possible by KBOO listener members and support from Portland Saturday Market. 45 years of handmade arts and crafts, freshly prepared international foods, and local music in downtown Portland. Featuring live music and Kids Corner events, Portland Saturday Market every Saturday and Sunday in Waterfront Park, now through Christmas Eve. Event schedule, vendor information, and more online at PortlandSaturdayMarket.com. KBOO program is also brought to you by Working to Connect the Columbia Land Trust, working to connect people with the nature of the Northwest with community-driven conservation and stewardship. More information, including tours, events, and volunteer opportunities online at columbialandtrust.org. And now it's time for your KBOO Evening News.
And now, your daily volunteer-produced community newscast, the KBOO Evening News.
Coming up on the KBOO Evening News, a man has been arrested in connection with bombs sent to prominent lawmakers, politicians, and media outlets over the past few days.
An election complaint has been filed against the Political Action Committee opposed to the Portland Clean Energy Initiative.
And in international news, we'll hear more about the convoy of migrants at the U.S.-Mexico border and what brought them there and how the U.S. is responding.
Good evening. This is the KBOO Evening News for Friday, October 26, 2018. I'm Jasmine Moneymaker.
And I'm Linda Olson Osterlund. On Wednesday, a white man shot and killed two black patrons of Kroger's grocery store in Jeffersontown, Kentucky. The attack came just minutes after the man, the shooter, Gregory Bush of Louisville, had tried to gain entry to a predominantly black church. Police say Bush had a history of mental illness, but the son of a witness told the New York Times that his father heard Bush make a racist remark before opening fire. The event has drawn parallels to the shooting of nine black churchgoers by an avowed white supremacist in Charleston, South Carolina, in 2015. Eight or nine members were inside of the First Baptist Church in Jeffersontown on Wednesday following a midweek service. According to the Times, a woman became alarmed when she saw Bush yanking violently on one of the doors into the church before giving up after nearly 10 minutes. The woman said that not long before, the church had been full of about 70 people for the service. Bush then went to the nearby Kroger store where he killed 67-year-old Vicki Lee Jones and 69-year-old Maurice Dollard. Bush was arraigned yesterday on 2 counts of murder and 10 counts of wanton endangerment, while the U.S. Attorney for Kentucky's Western District is considering bringing federal hate crime charges as well.
The Portland Clean Energy Initiative campaign filed an elections complaint with the Oregon Secretary of State's office Thursday. The complaint is against the Keep of Portland Affordable PAC, which is funded by corporations including Walmart, Amazon, Comcast, and U.S. Bank. The PAC is being accused of misleading two small business owners into voting no against the Portland Clean Energy Initiative. The small business owners are both immigrants who speak English as a second language and who did not fully understand what they were being asked to sign. Both believed they were signing for no extra grocery taxes. Measure 26201 funds clean energy initiatives by paying a 1% surcharge on large retailers. The measure is on the official ballot for the Multnomah County elections on November 6th.
Measure 105 on the Oregon ballot would repeal the state's 31-year-old sanctuary law. The measure has some residents of Oregon worried that it could lead to increased racial profiling by police if it passed. KBOO's Tammy Habteyes has this story from the Oregon News Service.
Some people of color in Oregon are afraid racial profiling by police could become more frequent if a measure to repeal the state's sanctuary status passes in November. Measure 105 could roll back a 31-year-old law that forbids the use of state and local resources to enforce federal immigration laws and was originally passed to crack down on racial profiling. Renato Quintero is a janitor in Hillsboro and a permanent resident of Oregon for more than 3 decades. Quintero says he's already been stopped by police without reason and believes it will happen more often if Measure 105 passes.
That happens if we are walking in the street, if we are driving. They always try to see what we are doing or who we are. And that is very uncomfortable.
The sanctuary law applies if a person's only infraction is being in the country illegally. Sheriffs in Oregon's 3 largest counties are opposing the measure. On the other side, 18 county sheriffs are supporting it, saying the sanctuary status undermines respect for the law in significant ways. Melissa Garcia was born in Oregon and is a former medical assistant who now works as a labor partner with Service Employees International Union Local 49. She considers herself a Mexican-American and says police have racially profiled friends and family members in the past. Garcia thinks President Donald Trump has stoked fears on immigration and exacerbated the problem for people of color across the country.
There's a lot of profiling going out there, and I believe it'll make it worse by voting yes on 105. That's how come I feel strongly against it.
Proponents of the measure say the state sanctuary status is leading to more crime. However, numerous studies show that immigrants commit crimes at the same rate or lower than people born in the United States. Quintero believes the measure is feeding off stereotypes about immigrants, but says he's led a good life as an Oregon resident overall.
I would like to continue living in peace and getting along with everybody.
Opponents also worry the measure could lead to fewer immigrants reporting crimes. Ballots are due by November 6th. For KBOO Evening News, this is Tammy Uptase, reading a news story from the Oregon News Service.
Federal Judge Richard Jones ruled on Wednesday against an executive order by Donald Trump, which declared sanctuary cities ineligible for federal grants. The ruling follows an opinion from the Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals that rendered the executive order unconstitutional. The judge's ruling only applies to Portland and Seattle, but does not overturn the executive order nationwide. The Court of Appeals ruled that federal grants may be legally withheld, but only by Congress. Because Oregon is still a sanctuary state, Portland's law enforcement has not changed with the debate over the executive order.
In Georgia, a federal judge has issued emergency relief blocking officials in Georgia from rejecting absentee ballots or applications on the alleged basis of signature mismatch. The Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights Under Law says that the court's order will help ensure that thousands of voters who stood the risk of being disenfranchised this election cycle will have their voices heard. The evidence in the case showed that particularly in Gwinnett County, the mass rejection of absentee ballots was a scheme that disproportionately impacted African American and other minority voters. Another lawsuit in Georgia is ongoing. This is one filed by investigative journalist Greg Pallast and a number of voters' rights groups. That lawsuit alleges that Georgia's Secretary of State Brian Kemp violated the National Voter Registration Act of 1993 by wrongfully purging over 340,000 voters. Brian Kemp is Secretary of State, which means he is responsible for administering the election and counting the ballots. The right-wing Republican is also running for governor against Democrat Stacey Abrams, who, if elected, would become the first African-American woman governor of any state. Pallast has also exposed a similar system in place in Colorado that has purged more than 700,000 voters from those rolls.
The FBI has arrested a Florida man suspected of sending more than a dozen bombs through the mail this week to top Democrats, celebrities, and CNN. This comes after four more bombs were found Friday morning, this time addressed to Democratic Senator Cory Booker, former U.S. Director of National Intelligence James Clapper, Democratic Senator Kamala Harris of California, and Democratic donor Tom Steyer. The 56-year-old suspect in the case is a white male who owns a van plastered with photos of Trump, American flags, and bizarre right-wing paraphernalia. He is a registered Republican who has been arrested numerous times, including one case in which he was accused of making a bomb threat.
Wendy Rankin has returned from the United Nations Conference on Social Justice and Immigration. She spoke with Teresa Mitchell.
Well, I wanted to ask you about the World Day of Social Justice and immigration justice specifically.
Yes.
So can you tell me what your relation is to that UN project?
I chair the Immigrant Justice Action Group at First Unitarian, and I was asked to be a member of the panel because there was an interest in having someone on the panel who was talking about taking action at the local level.
Are you concerned about the immigration that is in the news today with the caravan of Honduran refugees approaching the border?
Absolutely. That's front and center, of course, in people's minds. I'm not sure that everybody fully understands the implications. Perhaps try to make sure that people understand the factors that are leading to this kind of mass the movement towards the border from Honduras and from other Central American countries, specifically to Honduras. We support the military infrastructure in that country currently. And even, I mean, we have all sorts of things that we've done in the past, but circumstances in that country are untenable for people. There's violence, there's crime, there's no protection from the government, the governments of Honduras, and we're actually underwriting some of the police forces there, or providing training for them. And they come up here with no other, I mean, who would want to do that? Who would want to walk up through difficult territory, lots of dangers with their families? They do it because, of course, they are completely oppressed by their in their own countries.
What could you elaborate on the type of exploitation they face in Honduras?
Well, I have not been there, so I depend on the voices of many scholars and also the voices of the people who've been affected. So I can't tell you from my own experience, but I can tell you that what we hear about are the things that I just mentioned. Gang violence, where people are, where business and businesses are extorted, money is extorted from businesses, they have to close. There's there are very few economic opportunities. People don't have enough to eat often, and they simply can't survive.
Observers of Social Security in the United States have commented that the current good health of the Social Security system has a lot to do with immigrants coming in and putting money in to the Social Security fund without being able to take it out. Could you comment on the benefits of bringing, the demographic benefits, for example, of bringing in a group of workers into our borders and making them citizens?
With regards to the first part of your question, it is true that there are many, many, many people in this country who are paying into Social Security and will never see a dime of that money. That's just unjust. People deserve to be paid for the money that they have earned. And in many cases, migrants working in this country don't even get paid a fair share of in their paycheck, let alone these benefits that accrue and are never received. The second part of your question, I can't remember.
What would be the value of simply providing a path for their citizenship and embracing the entire caravan?
I happen to be an immigrant myself, and I've had all kinds of privilege because I happen to be a white woman. I am astounded that people can sit in this country and talk about not wanting immigrants when, in fact, almost everyone who lives here, with the exception of First Nations, have all come in here as immigrants themselves. They are their forebears. I think what this is an issue of straight-up racism, and I can't imagine why there wouldn't be a path for citizenship for anyone who comes here.
Well, can you tell me what sort of work you will be doing with the UN and what you're looking for from the public?
Well, I should be clear that we aren't directly connected to the UN, the work that we do at our church. In fact, I would say we are more closely aligned with an organization here in town called the Interfaith Movement for Immigrant Justice. We are interested in advocacy and policy. We don't do too much in the way of any direct service. Our focus is largely on raising awareness, doing advocacy with a particular emphasis on policy, and collaborating with community-based partners.
For KBOO Portland, I'm Teresa Mitchell.
Woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil sends the beast with wrath, because he knows the time is short. Let him who hath understanding reckon the number of the beast, for it is a human number. Its number is 666.
You are listening to the KBOO Evening News. Stay tuned after this newscast for Counterspin at 5:30. At 6, it's Bread and Roses, and then at 7, it's a new KBOO program called The Struggle. Tonight's weather will see a low of 49 degrees with a high chance of rain. Tomorrow's weather is sick, so we'll be running a repeat of today's weather, a high of 59 degrees, a low of 51, and a 100% chance of rain. Today in history, Bruce Dickinson performed for the first time as lead singer of the British heavy metal band Iron Maiden in 1981. And in 2002, the Moscow theater hostage crisis ended in a disastrous raid by Russian special forces, who stormed the theater, killing 50 Chechen insurgents and 150 hostages, primarily with a chemical agent dispersed into the building. The quote of the day is from Russian journalist Anna Politkovskaya, who was murdered on Vladimir Putin's birthday in 2006. She said, quote, "How we react to the tragedy of one small person accurately reflects our attitude towards a whole nationality, and increasing the numbers doesn't change much." The filmmaker Mario Van Peebles is in Portland today to present his latest film, Armed, to audience. I'm sorry, you guys, at the Portland Film Festival. The film will air tonight at 6:15 p.m. at the Custom Blocks between Southeast 9th and 10th on Madison Street. What begins as a psychological thriller takes a sharp right turn into the reality of gun violence and mass shootings in America, as Van Peebles discussed with KBOO this afternoon.
You know, we have an unusual situation where in America we have more guns and gun violence than any other developed country. And we're not changing it. We know that thoughts and prayers are not stopping these bullets. You know, so we have to change. We have to change what we're doing with behavior and with our voting. And we have to, you know, make some change consciously. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I wanted to do Armed and not soft sell it at all. Just get this wild ass movie out. Come see. And I'm doing a Q&A today. First act, you're going to be like, what's going on? And then after you it'll be clear to you because there's some twists and turns in this movie.
That was director and actor Mario Van Peebles discussing his latest film, Armed, at KBOO this afternoon. Armed is playing tonight at the Custom Blocks in Portland as part of the Portland Film Festival. The full interview is available online at kboo.fm.
Today brought more indications that the wealth gap between the world's rich and poor continues to widen. According to the annual Billionaires Report published by Swiss bank UBS today, millionaires across the globe increased their wealth by $1.4 trillion last year, which is an astonishing 20% increase. That brings their combined wealth to nearly $9 trillion. During a year in which much of the world faced deep poverty as well as unprecedented extreme weather due to the human-caused climate crisis, the 2,000 wealthiest people in the world raked in more money in 2017 than any other year in recorded history.
The S&P 500 ended at its lowest level in 5 months today, with tech and internet stocks in a massive sellout. The S&P lost 1.73%, the NASDAQ fell 2.07%, and the Dow dropped 1.19%. Both Amazon and Google started the sell-off as both corporations fell short of their third-quarter sales projections, with Amazon falling 8% and Google falling 5.6%. Amazon's owner Jeff Bezos' net worth dropped $11 billion, down to $135.8 billion. Bezos has reached $160 billion in net worth earlier in September and still owns 16% of Amazon.
On Friday evening, rockets were fired from the Gaza Strip into the Israeli settlement of Sderot, located in southern Israel. This occurred after the Israeli Defense Force shot and killed several Palestinian protesters in Gaza and the West Bank early on Friday. Four of the slayed protesters were shot during a now two-week-long protest on the border wall between Gaza and Israel. Palestinians are protesting for the right of return for all Palestinians who have been displaced as a result of the Israeli occupation in Palestine. They are also protesting against the blockade and sanctions put on the region by Israel and Egypt. The self-appointed government in Gaza, Hamas, has been persistent in voicing the need for Israel and Egypt to lift the movement restrictions put on people living in Gaza. The blockade is causing a serious lack of medical and humanitarian supplies to the region. Currently, people in Gaza are subjected to sporadic blackouts that can last for days, unsanitary drinking water, unstable economy where 70% of youth are unemployed and have essentially no health care system. Some roads and buildings have not been repaired since the last time Israel attacked Gaza in 2014, where 2,493 structures were destroyed. Another protester was shot by IDF forces during the Friday protest near Ramallah. IDF soldiers shot live rounds as Palestinian protesters threw rocks toward the soldiers' armored jeeps. No reports of Israeli casualties were made.
You're listening to the KBOO Evening News for Friday, October 26th, 2018. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call us with your breaking news stories and tips at 503-231-8032. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Tammy Habtayez, Aiden Moyer, Lucas Campbell, and Teresa Mitchell. Our engineer is Jenna Yokoyama. The interim directors of Evening News and Public Affairs are Sam Bowman and Teresa Mitchell, and a podcast of this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM. I'm Jasmine Moneymaker.
I'm Linda Olson Osterlund. Good night, Jasmine. Good night, Jenna.
Good night, y'all.
Good night, everybody. You are tuned into KBOO Portland. The time is 5:27. Coming up next is Counterspin, but first this.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor the Art-a-thon with Impact on Saturday, November 3rd from 6 to 9 p.m. at Lewis and Clark College in Portland. Art-a-thon with Impact is a 12-hour creativity and wellness festival. Young people are invited to participate in groups. In 8 hours, each group will create an original artwork that is connected to themes of mental health and wellness. A festival from 6 until 9 showcases all performances and artwork open for all to attend. Again, that's the Art-a-thon with Impact on Saturday, November 3rd, from 6 to 9 p.m. at the Agnes Flanagan Chapel at Lewis and Clark College, 0615 Southwest Palatine Hill Road in Portland. More information may be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Hey, cable listeners. Coming up next at 5:30 is Counterspin. We'd just like to give a big thank you to all of our supporters here at KBOO Community Radio, your radio station, supported by members. Not a member of KBOO, go to kboo.fm and you can click on that donate button. You don't need to wait for a membership drive. You can become a member today. And you know why you should become a member today? Because you're listening to KBOO right now. So renew that membership or become a new member and become an active part of your media. Okay, for all you Counterspin fans, you've been waiting all week. I think it's time.
Welcome to Counterspin, your weekly look behind the headlines. I'm Janine Jackson. This week on Counterspin, Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell tipped a poorly hidden hand by saying that were it, you know, up to him, Congress, after the election, could be looking to address Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid, which he called the real drivers of the debt. Media were quick to report Democrats' outcry, but that didn't include any questioning of media's own role in laying the groundwork for claims that Social Security is a controversial or a troubled program in need of addressing. We'll go over some myths about Social Security once more with feeling with Nancy Altman, president of Social Security Works, board chair at the Pension Rights Center, and author of, among other titles, The Battle for Social Security, From FDR's Vision to Bush's Gamble. That's coming up, but first we'll take a look back at mainstream press. As more information about Washington Post columnist Jamal Khashoggi's brazen murder at the hands of the Saudi government comes to light, FAIR analyst Adam Johnson called attention to a little-acknowledged media trope used to prop up the mythology of the U.S. as a noble protector of democracy and human rights.